Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILF.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling, Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS, joined by Scott Eckersley and Andrea Nelson. And Andrea was with you, Tom, last night at
the, I didn't know she was there. She was
obviously, she had the sense to stay away from you, but
yeah,
she was there at
she was in the press box.
Holt for the Holt-East Lansing game. And we know how resilient young people are. It's one of the great things about young people. But it always helps when a coach can take a group that has had some very tough losses and get them back up and get them ready to play. And obviously that's what happened last night with Holt, a 13-10 winner over East Lansing. Very happy to welcome in our co-coach of the week, Al Slammer of the Holt Rams. Hello, Al.
Hi, Jack. How are you doing this morning?
Just fine. How are you doing? I imagine a little better than the last couple Saturdays.
Well, I got to tell you, we have not had to hide these sharp objects around the house today, so I think we feel a little bit better.
After an 0-2 start, how important was this win for your team?
Oh, I mean, it was huge for us, and really the from the mental standpoint, but our kids we're a mature group of young men, and I think that they did a great job of preparation for the week. But it was critical for us to come in and play well. And it's an old adage there about you don't worry about winning and losing, those things, and I think we've done a pretty good job of just thinking about our week of practice, getting better every day, and if you do all of those little things, hopefully the end result will be what you want.
Al, it's Tom Crawford here, and with my son being on East Lansing's team, I'm quite familiar with their prowess on offense, and I thought the key to the game, a couple things. Obviously, Curtis Nick, you got your running game going. You had your backup quarterback. Curtis Nick was outstanding that game, but I thought your schemes defensively really, you brought a lot of pressure on Tyler Tucker, forced him out of the pocket early. And then your coverages were, it was very difficult, even when you did have time, for a lot of our wideouts to get separation, I noticed.
Well, I think Don Green is our defensive coordinator. I thought did an excellent job in giving some different looks that we have not given East Lansing before. The receivers that they have, Tucker's just so tough and does a good job of reading things. But I think you're right, Tom. I think that when we were able to go through and give some different looks, give some pressure coming from different places, some twists and some different things in our front four. In fact, late in the game, we really were placed into a situation where our front four had to put most of the pressure on, and we had to drop it to different areas. Now, not quite zone blitz schemes, but schemes similar to that, because, Coach Rocco does such a good job of mixing things up and moving the ball all over the place.
Al, for all the coaches out there whose teams are beset with turnovers, how do you go from whatever was 10 turnovers in the first couple games to protect the ball, a turnover-free performance last night?
Well, it's a point of emphasis for you. We really, in our coaches meeting last Sunday, that was number one on my coaching list on what we had to do. We had to address our turnover issues. And as coaches, we thought we'd done that, but obviously if you're having 10 or 12 turnovers, whatever you're doing isn't necessarily good enough. So you address it. I call it the gorilla in the room, and what we really needed to do is do things a little bit differently. The definition of insanity is do the same things over and over again and expect different results. So we need to do something a little bit different. I thought our kids improved their concentration. I thought our kids improved their focus. And I thought as coaches, I thought we did a better job this week as well of addressing that and doing drills that attacked that problem that we had. Because I got to tell you, Jack, that's pretty frustrating to take a look at, having 10 or 12 turnovers in the course of 2 weeks of time. And you can't be bad teams doing that. And we play two of the really top programs or top teams in the state. And, that's going to put you in a hole right away.
Right.
Coach, you talked about some critical mental errors that your team made. What are those mistakes and how are you going to address them?
Gosh, I hate talking about those mistakes there, but I think that turnovers are mental things, mm-hmm. and penalties in key situations are mental things as well. So we need to spend particular time. We bring our kids in on Sunday, we lift and we watch film, and I think we need to we bring that out. We need to talk in terms of our situations, how important it is, because we placed ourselves in positions a number of times where, hey, it's first and 10, we get a 6-yard gain and we get a penalty and we have to take. And those are things that just cost you down the road, and those are mental errors. You know, and sometimes you're going to have penalties that aren't and those things, but we really need to address those mental errors. And if you're going to be a great team, you know, can't have turnovers, can't have those mental errors. Physical mistakes are going to happen, but we want to make sure that we have the ability to eliminate those mental mistakes, address them, talk about them all the time, do a great job in practice and calling us out and put us in the practice time, put us in game situations where you're forced to do things similar that you have to in a game.
Al, you know, at the game last night, and obviously on the guest side, we were disappointed, but I'm telling you, I thought that was a great atmosphere last night. Both sides, East Lansing fans brought it. Holt fans are always there. What's it like being part of this program out there? You're down at Battle Creek Central. Now you're at Holt where, you know, and you did a great job down there for a number of years, but now you're at Holt where, you know, football is such a kingpin of that whole environment over there. Tell us what that's like and the pressures that go along with that as well.
Tom, man, is that fun to be part of Friday night football at Holt. You know, our student body during the course of the week is so in tune to what's going on with our athletic programs. I'm just talking not just in terms of football, but it's such a competitive, winning attitude that I just love being around it. You know, Friday night is just a special time. It's at Holt. And you saw the crowd there last night. You saw our student section into it, the support of our community. It's a great thing. Same thing was true of last week. The same thing was true of the first week. If you were at our first ball game as well, I mean, our people come out and they are a very, very astute football community. They understand the game and they appreciate good football. And I think as a coach and as a player, I think you want to be a part of that. I mean, it's a community that loves the game and really is supportive of Friday night football. Some places struggle with that, but not at Holt. It's a great place to be involved in athletics and in football in particular.
Last question, Al. Both teams last night playing without key players. East Lansing had a bunch of guys out, you said, Tom. And Jake Gallimore, your senior quarterback, with his arm in a sling. Jake Bozo came in, did a nice job for him. What's the prognosis for Gallimore, and what are you feeding Curtis Nick? 262 yards. He looked a little bit like Larry Caper last night.
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, Jake Gallimore is a great leader. And I think he's done a great job with Jake Bozo all week long. You know, when he had dislocated his elbow, and he's on a week to week basis. We're encouraged that he'll be back with us next week. But I think Jake's job is to continue to make sure that Jake Bozo is ready to perform. And I really thought Jake Bozo did a great job of stepping in and leading the team last night. We were very proud of the things that he did. Curtis Nick is a great running back who really has done a great job in the off season of committing himself to the physical conditioning part of it. And the first thing that Curtis did at the end of the ball game, came right up to me and put his arm around me, and he said, "Coach, no turnovers, no turnovers." I mean, that was a thing that was very important to him. I'm proud of the way that he responded to things as well. You know, Curtis is a great football player. I mean, he rushed for over 300 yards in the first 2 weeks. And, 250 or 260 yards this past week. He's going to be a name to remember over the course of this football season.
He had that 36-yard run at the end of the game.
Yeah, seal the deal.
Fourth and
right.
One, that really did it. Al, congratulations. Great job of bringing your guys back, and we knew that Holt would not stay down with the tough schedule you had. I'm sure you'll be a factor in the CAC Blue race.
Well, thanks. Great talking to you guys this morning.
All right. We're going to switch now and go out to DeWitt and talk with Rob Zimmerman, coach of the Panthers. Hello, Rob. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Well, good. Seven in a row over Hazlitt, but this one certainly a little bit closer than the final score indicated.
Oh, absolutely. It was a great high school football game and a great win for us, but definitely a very difficult one.
All right. I want to talk a little bit about the players you have had step up here. And Nathaniel Deek with 119 yards on just 10 carries. That's almost 12 yards a carry. And the Higbee brothers coming through big last night. But when you were down 14-0, what was going through your mind?
Well, I certainly was a little bit concerned because Hazlitt's a very good team, and we didn't get off to a very good start. But with the group of kids that we have, and we're certainly not a veteran team, but the skill players that we've relied upon are experienced. And even though I was concerned, I still felt like it was early enough in the game that we had an opportunity certainly to get back in it. And those guys proved me right.
Rob, it's time. You know, I saw Hazlitt in the first game against East Lansing, and I know that they're a team that when they get ahead of you, you know, and they can establish with their ball control, with you know their wing tee offense, they can pound on you. But then here comes back DeWitt, the cardiac kid. Jack, this is just like the Indiana team in 1967. You wait till the end to pull the thing out. I mean, how is that on as far as your pulse rate, Rob?
Well, I told the kids after last night that those were two great wins the last 2 weeks, but I'd just soon not have any more like that for a while because those are pretty nerve-wracking. But, hey, we'll take them, you know, however we need to go about getting them, I guess we'll take them. But I prefer to not have as close of games if possible.
You know, I think a lot of times, Tom, we see a game like this and we say, well, one team is good, one team is not so good.
Right.
I think that's unfair a lot of times. You saw it last night with East Lansing and Holt.
Right.
We saw it with Okemos giving Grand Ledge all
we
it
saw it with Everett playing Sexton very tough last
night. And we saw it last week, a game I saw with DeWitt in Portland. And a lot of people say, well, Portland must not be that good.
Yeah.
I think you could get an argument on that from DeWitt, which needed a miraculous last minute and whatever it was to come back and win. And last night again, but how often do you practice these two-minute drills? Is this a daily thing for you?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, we work very hard on our passing game in the summertime with our 7-on-7 competitions. We traveled to a lot of places and throwing tournaments, and that certainly plays a part in it. And then with being a no-huddle team and working on that every day, we also do our two-minute drill every single day. So our kids have a lot of practice, and they actually expect to – they get put in that situation. They expect to win or at least expect to go down and score because they've gotten so much work on it in practice.
You know, Rob, then the other element, obviously this pretty intense rivalry with Hazlitt and DeWitt, and, you know, you've had the advantage over that. And I think Charlie says, you know, it can't be a rivalry until you win it once in a while. But, you know, I that's nice of him to say that. But, you know, and you obviously know well when you're going against his team that they're going to bring it, and they certainly brought it last night. And obviously the score is a little misleading. That was a one-touchdown game right down the final second. So talk about, if you will, that rivalry and how you mentally prepared for that and what Hazlitt brought to the table.
Well, you know, the thing that was the most difficult for us this year with going into this game is they had so many kids back. They have 18 to 20 starters back from last year's team and very, very high expectations in that community. So we knew that their kids were going to be extremely excited about playing us because of their experience, but also the fact that we had won 6 in a row over them. I mean, that's a great motivating factor for the team that is on the opposite end of that, and it's hard for us to sell our kids from the same standpoint, you know. But fortunately, it being a huge rivalry game, you know, it doesn't make it super difficult by any means to get them excited to play Hazlitt. And you know, I don't think it matters what the record is when we play each other. It's going to be a tough game, and both teams are excited to play.
I don't know if there's a better pair of receivers in the area and Jacob Higbee and Jordan Johnson. But DeWitt is known for developing outstanding quarterbacks, and I think the way that DeWitt plays helps a lot. But when did you know you had someone special in Caleb Higbee?
Well, as a sophomore, he was our JV quarterback. We kept him down during the regular season from the varsity to play quarterback, and he had a great sophomore year. And then we brought him up to the playoffs. He started in the first week as a receiver for us, so we knew what kind of athlete he was there. And watching him practice last year, we had Jimmy Williams, who did a great job for us. But we knew last year that Caleb was going to be very special, and then he had a great summer this year. And so, you know, we felt pretty good about what he was going to be able to do just watching him doing the drills and practice, I shouldn't say practice, but camps and 7-on-7s, et cetera, during the summer.
And then Rob Jordan I remember him starting as a sophomore, but wasn't he injured in the summer? If I'm not mistaken, and he had to make a little comeback then, didn't he?
Yeah, Jordan's story is honestly a great one. I mean, he had an outstanding sophomore and junior year for us. And then this summer, he tweaked his knee and he had to have a meniscus surgery in the middle of the summer. And we expected to have him back within 3 or 4 weeks max, because that's not a major surgery. But he got a staph infection right after that or from the surgery, and he actually had to have four more additional surgeries to clean up the staph infection. So for him to be dressed and ready to play week one against Eastern was honestly was unbelievable. And, you know, his last 2 weeks, Jordan has been just, he's been Jordan, but he's just been outstanding for us. And I'm biased, but I think our two receivers, they're the best pair that I've ever had, but I don't think anybody in the state's got a better pair of receivers than those two guys with JKB and Jordan Johnson.
Both teams ready to play last night at DeWitt, another classic in the series. Congratulations, Rob. We'll talk to you again later in the season.
All right. Thank you very much. Take care, guys.
All right. We'll be right back. We'll have our prep roundtable coming up. Jack Eblin here with Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.